You're listening to Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to. This is Hidden Mysteries Radio for Wednesday, November the 4th, 2015. How you doing, Ghost?
I'm doing fine.
Well, Ghost, this is the month that Kennedy was killed, right?
It's the month that I always honor and think of. November arrives here. When Thanksgiving season's on us, it's not a time happy for me.
Right. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. HiddenMysteries.com. Sell several books on the Kennedy assassination, right?
We have several, yes.
But we're going to be talking about. We're not going to go.
We're going to talk one that's about kind of obscure and nobody knows much about.
Right. It's and the book's called "When They Kill a President." It's written by a police officer who was on the street at the time, named Roger Craig. Right.
True.
Well, and we're not going to get too deep into the details of the book because. We're hoping that people will read the book, and it's a reasonably priced book as well. It's not a real big book or a long read or any of that, but it's got a lot of really good stuff.
This is actually an unfinished manuscript of a book he was writing. This when he passed away.
Yeah,
he wanted to get this work. He wanted to record for posterity or for history what he saw that the Warren Commission refused to see.
Yeah, and what'd you buy the rights from his family or something? Or?
No, they went out open, and I found it, copy, and started publishing it.
Okay, great.
I looked for, there's no special hold on it. You know, for years we sold them for about $10, but it was in a special larger format. And recently I found, you know, we put it into the small mass production type paperback. We can get them out for about $5.
Yeah, well,
that's postage paid in the United States.
That's cheaper than what they charge for the romance novels and stuff to check out stand at the grocery store now.
Well, I said at that price, we're not making any money. I want this November to always be remembered for him.
Yeah. And it was November 22nd. Yeah. Now, that happened a very few years before I was born, but Ghost was around for it.
Oh, yeah. I was in sixth grade when the whole thing happened, and he had just passed. Well, if you knew how Arlington's laid out, he had just passed near our elementary school, maybe 15 minutes earlier.
Well, a lot of people say, and based on reading history, I agree that John F. Kennedy was the last real U.S. president. He was the last person who
exercised
the power of the office in the interest of the people or whatever.
That and... I said, he was no party man. He was not one that would follow the party line.
Right.
You know, he ran as a Democrat. He made so many moves that were technically conservative as far as today's view that surprises people to find out he was the one that did it.
Well, yeah. When Kennedy took office, I guess this would probably be the one issue more than any other that you could point to make your point. When Kennedy took office, the upper levels of the income tax rate were up around 90%.
Right.
And that was after 8 years of a Republican presidency. They'd kept the income tax rates basically the same since World War II when they bumped them up so high because it was an emergency for World War II. And Kennedy, to this day, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he lowered income tax rates more than any president since.
Well, yeah, he lowered them to 35% maximum.
Yeah. So
they were up in 98% bracket.
So he brought them down by over 60% for a lot of
people. And he was dealt horrible PR for doing it by his own party.
Right.
You know, they accused him of doing it because his daddy was rich. Well, his daddy was rich, but his daddy was still rich. It wouldn't matter on the taxation part.
Right, right. Yeah, his daddy was whiskey rich, wasn't he?
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he made a major part of his fortune during Prohibition.
And he was obviously not Jewish with the way some of his rhetoric you follow goes. He was never.
Oh, no, no.
Like a lot of them are controlled by or are.
Right. Oh, no. John F. Kennedy was not. We've talked about that before. We've read some quotes of his, like, you know, one of them, I don't have it in front of me and I can't remember it precisely, but, he said things like, in his book that he wrote, his war memoirs that he wrote, he said that Adolf Hitler, that one day the hatred surrounding Hitler would fall away and he would be recognized as one of the most significant figures in history. And he said that, one day, you know, that he may not be able to accomplish it, but that anything could be done. And, you know, we needed to do it because we didn't want one day in the near future to say, you know, we should have stopped Israel's nuclear program and several other things like that when we could have. And I believe he wrote that one in his diary a week or two before he was
being such
murdered.
Of a young age for president. He had wisdom far beyond these older ones, like my recent memories would be Reagan or George Bush Sr.
Yeah.
Where you almost think dementia set in.
Right.
They've forgotten what they were for and about.
Right.
Like, you know, Kennedy said, forgive your enemies.
Right.
But never forget their names.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Just witty.
Well, it doesn't hurt to, what was he, 50 when he was elected? 50 or 51, something like that.
Right now, we see all of our defense being shoveled out to foreign shores to protect Israel's interests.
Right.
We have none left for defense of our own shores.
Right.
In fact, we've opened the borders to where there's no defense for anything anymore.
No.
His word was democracy and defense are not substitutes for one another. Either one alone will fail.
Yeah. And one thing that I really like about Kennedy is you could tell he was, when he would give his anti-communist speeches, it wasn't just rhetoric. He really meant it. He was a big anti-communist. He understood the problems with the ideology and how evil the entities that were communist at the time were. And he several times just basically had a standoff with the Soviet Union, the Cuban Missile Crisis. But
at the same time, he was probably the only national figure in the world that understood Khrushchev.
Right.
Understood him.
Yeah.
Understood that Khrushchev really was not a party man himself.
Right.
He had to play the party line for the job he held, but he preferred New York City over Moscow.
Right. Khrushchev wanted to turn the Soviet Union into kind of a
second USA economically.
Right. But maintain the
he could see that the community farms weren't working.
Right. Well, yeah, anybody could see that by the starving people, right?
Right.
Well, you know, the Samizdat diet that used to put out the propaganda off, you know, now we have the internet where we can put out our propaganda, but back then they, you know, they had to use printing presses and stuff, and they would put out propaganda like the Soviet Union is such a workers' paradise, the farmers are starving, or the Soviet Union is such a workers' paradise that if a worker tries to leave, he will be killed, and that kind of stuff. And Kennedy understood all this, and one of the most famous political speeches of the 20th century was his Ich bin ein Berliner speech, where he went to Berlin and he said, I am a Berliner. We're all Berliners, you know, talking about facing down East Germany and the Soviet East. It really was people who have been born after the Cold War, which is probably a significant portion of our audience now, since the Cold War really ended with the fall of the Berlin Wall, which was what, 1990, something like that.
He had an automatic almost intuition or to mend fences between enemies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he was talking about Washington, D.C.
Right.
He said, it's full of Southern efficiency mm-hmm. and Northern charm.
Yeah.
He was mending the fences between the North and the South, just one little statement he made, because he knew the battle was coming over civil rights for eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what that's
civil rights bill was written during Eisenhower's term.
Right.
He had planned on getting it pushed through Congress and all that, even though he never got a chance to.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the places I would have disagreed with him.
Well, no, the bill itself is not what you disagree with. It's the regulations that are enacting that bill.
Yeah.
The regulations were never gone through Congress.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean,
that's a whole ball of legal mumbo jumbo that the U.S. government pulls on you.
I understand that, but maybe on another show we'll talk about why I have kind of come around to maybe being against the idea of the whole thing and not just the regulations you're talking about. But I don't want to get into that tonight because that'll get us off on another track. And we're talking about John F. Kennedy. We're talking about the man himself and his life and his death and the cover up and mistakes and purposeful errors that were made in the investigation after his death. Now, Ghost, I haven't asked you before this, but I think I probably know the answer to this. Now, during this show, we are likely not going to advocate that any single particular precise theory about who killed him and all that, that this is how it happened.
Well, my favorite's Oliver Stone's version, because I think that's probably the way it went down.
Well, the problem that I have with the Oliver Stone version is that Stone took, and it's a good movie. It's too long, but it's a good movie. And Kevin Costner did a bang up job in it. If he didn't win awards for his performance in that, he should have.
Yes.
Donald Sutherland, even though he was only in it for about 5 minutes, he probably should have got some kind of a supporting actor award. And Joe Pesci probably should have got some kind of supporting actor award for that.
Well, but theory of George W. Bush was behind the assassination.
Yeah, they don't say that in JFK, though.
They don't come out and say it, but right. Who do you think John Sutherland's playing?
Well, I always got the... I know we've talked about this on the show before, and we're going to talk about it tonight. And I'm not saying it's far-fetched or anything that W did was involved in it. But other than the fact that he's so stupid, and it came off so well. But,
and big honcho in the CIA at the time.
W?
Yeah, no,
Daddy. Senior. Yeah, okay.
Not little W. No.
Right. Well, I've heard people say that W had something to do with it too. He would have been like a teenager or something.
No, W is accused of having something to do with JFK Jr.'s
okay.
demise.
Okay. Well, anyway, the only real problem that I had with the Oliver Stone film was that he tried to take every single credible sounding theory from all the different angles and weave them all into one story as though they all played a part.
I looked at it. He was trying to present all the different theories while this main topic of events going on was overlooked.
Right.
Well, he was showing all the different theories that the Warren was throwing out and the other authors were throwing out. But the main thing was where Kevin Costner's role played.
Yeah.
Was totally ignored in this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, one of the most interesting aspects of the whole thing is Oswald himself. And that was really brought out in the movie and, the kind of things that he was involved in before and after his military service. And, Oswald apparently, he was working, was it New Orleans, where he was pamphleteering for this?
For Cuba.
Was it pro or anti Cuba? I thought he was back and it was anti Cuba.
Well, I got pro.
It was an anti communist thing, and it had all these Cubans.
Because Kennedy had put a stop to it officially back to the Bay of Pigs,
right?
And these guys were trying to stir up the soup kitchen or soup or whatever in the kitchen to start it up again,
right? And yeah, and well, what I was going to say was that this this anti communist organization there in New Orleans that he was working for, doing the pamphleteering for and stuff. It turned out it was most likely a CIA front that had a lot of the Bay of Pigs actors in it, expatriate Cubans and stuff like
Kennedy
that.
Kennedy was going to destroy the CIA and wipe it off the face of the earth.
No, that would have been a good thing, wouldn't it?
Would have been a great thing.
Especially now, the main thing that people always, and Kennedy knew better, and the main thing that people always comforted themselves with that I think that made the CIA survive for long enough until it was just impossible to get rid of was that they're not allowed to operate on American soil. But we've sure found out over the last 20 years or so.
They've been here all along.
Yeah, that they do most of their operating here, and it's done against us. And not they're not they're, they do more spying on us than they do overseas.
Overseas are busy destroying economies and destroying
sovereign nations
and democracy. They're destroying democracies too. Well,
right, but when
they've been trying to destroy the Venezuelan democracy and the Nicaraguan democracy for at least 20 years.
Oh yeah, well they've been down there in South America destroying every country down there for since the late 40s. Yeah, I wish I could remember the guy's name, but one of the best reads you can have about that is called The Diary of an Economic Hitman.
Yes.
And the guy went down there and he would set up dummy corporations like coffee companies, banana export companies, and stuff like that. And they would do it to purposely destroy those industries in those countries that didn't toe the line with whatever the United States wanted out of them. And the odd thing was, as long as they would toe the line for the United States, we didn't care if it was a democracy, a republic, some type of totalitarian dictatorship with no political ideology other than whatever the ruler felt that day, some type of fascist or communist. It didn't matter. As long as they just do what we want, we'd support them. And, if that sounds far-fetched, just remember, think about the Middle East. Everybody that we've gone to war with, we were friends with them for decades and supplied them with everything in the world they could possibly want until one day they didn't want to do something that we told them to do.
That's exactly right.
That's what happened to Saddam. That's what happened to Noriega. That's what happened in Egypt. And that's what they're trying to do in Syria now.
That's who's
over there doing this. When we do the show Friday night, the Friday night show this week, I'm going to play some video of a congresswoman who was on, I believe it's CNN recently, saying the United States has to stop this illegal proxy war in Syria being waged by the CIA. And
if Kennedy had been alive six more months,
yeah,
Vietnam was going to be over.
Because right.
When he became president, he didn't know what all the stuff behind the scenes had been going on.
Yeah.
You know, he knew people were in Vietnam, but he didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah, the advisors.
He found out he wanted to end that war and our involvement.
Yeah, that was what we had going on at the time was the advisors. And advisors was a real sanitized term for what they were. They were Green Berets. And what Green Berets do, Green Berets are the original special forces who, as a matter of fact, the bill to create the Green Berets was signed by President Kennedy. But what the Green Berets do, the Green Berets are basically trained to teach guerrilla warfare. They know all of it, the ins and outs of it, and they'll go into these places in South America, Asia, Middle East, and they'll train whatever revolutionary or partisan forces that we are allied with on how to do the jungle guerrilla fighting, the mountain fighting, and all that kind of stuff to fight whatever government it is we don't like that we're trying to topple. And Vietnam was probably the first modern example of that, where we were working out how to do that. We had our Green Berets and our CIA over there purposely fomenting that war. I don't think there was ever any attempt at any type of negotiations or diplomacy with the North Vietnamese government.
We got sucked in the same way we got sucked into the Panama thing.
Right.
By the French.
Yeah.
French went over and stirred up this hornet's nest.
Yep.
And walked off, leaving the United States holding the bag.
Yeah, and the French, what did the French call it? Indochina or something like that? What did they call Vietnam?
I don't remember.
I believe it was Indochina. I could be wrong about that. But anyway.
You know, of all the presidents, I can only remember one where I even remember a phrase out of one of the inauguration speeches.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Who doesn't know that's one thing from President Kennedy?
Yeah.
Can you ever think of one phrase from George Bush? George Bush Jr.?
Yes.
Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, well, forget the gynecologist joke.
No. Our children isn't learning.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly something to be bragging over. He's an example of what education does in America.
He did have a couple of really good sayings, but they were purposely designed to mislead everybody. Like whenever George Bush needed to get the country together to do something horrible that was bad for us, he would falsely stoke our nationalist instincts. Like one of the great phrases that he said that I agree with 100%, but that he was using it for the wrong reason, was when he said, America will never ask anyone for a permission slip to defend itself. But I'll be damned if we don't.
We all remember that one phrase, ask what not what you can do, what your country can do, but what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. Nobody remembers the second half of that phrase.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Yeah, right? There was another sentence in that same paragraph.
And what sentence is that? I guess I'm one of those
My
people.
Fellow citizens, ask not what America can do for you. But what we can do together for the freedom of man.
Right.
Now, do you think he would have been a friend of this Nazi Israel that's going on?
No. Well, no, he obviously wasn't. They didn't like him. And they were still an active, hot terrorist state against the United States when he was president, and he knew it.
They still are. Well, they just use different weapons.
Right. But, I mean, they were this is back when they were still doing things like blowing up movie theaters that our Marines were in over in Egypt to try to draw us into the Egypt conflict.
I used to have a little sympathy for Nixon.
Yeah.
I actually voted for him to get us out of the war.
Yeah.
Little did I know what all Nixon had been up to.
Oh,
did
I know.
Did anybody know?
He was a naughty boy. That's true. But I have to say, when it comes to Nixon, growing up, I really hated Nixon because when the Watergate hearings happened, of course it was summertime, so every school kid was home, and that was the only thing on TV, the Watergate hearings. I think I was about 6 years old, and so even though I didn't understand then what was going on with the Watergate hearings, you know, you had the next 20 years of for a while there, nobody said you're worse than Hitler, they'd say you're worse than Nixon. In the years after, and of course anybody who is familiar with a lot of the writing that I've done in the past knows that I'm, as far as the writing style goes, I'm a huge fan of Hunter S. Thompson.
Well, I'm going to compare
and something. So I didn't
for
like
you.
Nixon for that reason, but I think Nixon was misunderstood, and he was pretty good on a lot of things.
This show is not about Nixon.
I know. Yeah, we're going to move off of that. But
we're going to say you can compare the two, though, as far as being exactly opposite what they were by the electorate that elected them.
Right.
Now, let's see. Kennedy was looking for a settlement between Cuba and the United States. He wanted to end the embargo and sign them up for as an ally. And then when Russia came in and was arming them against us, all hell broke loose, but he handled it professionally and like a gentleman.
Yeah.
With the blockade. Now, that's a odd move, I'd say, for a president, any president in the modern times.
Well, do you think that he thought when he started that blockade that he ever would have imagined that but it would still be going 50 years?
But he was
later?
Ready to full out militarily if necessary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
against a perceived enemy at the time.
Well, when they.
However, okay. Nixon, when he was president, allowed a country to attack and sink one of our ships and did nothing.
Which country?
Israel.
Oh, no. You're talking about Johnson.
No.
Are you talking about USS Liberty?
Yes.
That was Johnson.
Well, then Johnson.
Okay.
They did nothing.
Yeah, that was 1967. Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, because Nixon came in when they discovered Israel had nukes, and Kissinger was warning him.
Right.
And Nixon did nothing.
Right.
So, I don't want to hear all this like a mumbo jumbo about how good a commander in chief they are.
Right.
It's crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Kennedy also was going to end the banking system as we know it.
Yes, he had even gotten started with the silver certificates.
Yeah, well, he didn't create silver certificates. Okay, this is a very conservative view of what he was getting ready to do. He was going to destroy the central banks with fiat currency, giving them worthless paper for the worthless paper they loaned the United States.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very conservative move, like the tax move. Very conservative.
So, Kennedy...
But Nixon closed the silver window, destroyed the silver certificate, and he's considered a Republican conservative. But that's a very liberal move.
Well, Nixon also oversaw Bretton Woods II, where we were completely removed from the gold standard and went on the petrodollar.
Well, yeah, that's when we ended the silver standard. The gold standard was ended years earlier, decades
earlier. Well, we were still partially on it. I mean, it was a weird thing. But, yeah, I know what you're saying about the silver standard, but we were
still...
The only
thing gold was used for was international dealings.
Right, but the international dealings were moved into what is still referred to as the petrodollar, and since that is precisely when... Now, our currency was already volatile because it had been partially fiat since 1913, well, with the establishment of the Federal Reserve. But when after Bretton Woods II, that's when the currency really became volatile and oil prices started affecting the currency. Well,
the first thing that happened after that, he destroyed the silver certificate. What was the next economic break in his term? Remember the price freezes?
Yeah.
It was super inflation. After right. He ended illegal currency.
Right. And the
energy. But nobody ever blames the Republicans for these crimes they committed.
And I remember the energy crisis, too. I was a little kid, and you'd go into the grocery store, and they were pushing this energy crisis thing so much. I remember my grandma, who had always put up Christmas lights, which as a little kid was a big deal to me. I said, "Grandma, are we going to put up the Christmas lights?" And she said, "No, President said not to. Energy crisis."
Well, all that was for was that the Middle Eastern nations had kind of finally come to the realization that together we have the power to control the beasts.
Yeah, OPEC. Yeah.
And during Carter's term, they jacked the price on oil skyrocketing and boycotted U.S. purchases.
Yep. I remember.
He was not responsible for that. That had all been set in motion before he was president. It just culminated when he was there.
Right.
And you can take what the United States is doing now. It appears they're trying to destroy any sense of unity of those nations, of being friends with each other, and destroying OPEC so they had no authority or power to control oil. And it's a sovereign crime against those countries what the U.S. has done.
Well, do you think
Kennedy would never have done something like that?
Do you think the United States is doing that because people in the United States that are running things thought it was a good idea, or you think some other sovereign entity has officials influencing them about this?
Well, I'm sure that Tel Aviv is all for the destruction of the Middle East.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
That's why they're so afraid of Iran, even though Iran has not once ever threatened them. You know, Iran's never once, nor had Iraq ever threatened the United States.
Right.
So why did we have to go murder all those people?
Neither had Noriega. And Noriega, even if he did threaten the United States, had no ability to back up the threat. The worst he ever did was
had no authority to go arrest him in his own sovereign country when he was president.
Well, we didn't have authority for the CIA and the Bush family and all to be having bank accounts full of billions of dollars worth of drug money, and that's what caused it because he confiscated it. But anyway, get back to Kennedy. So... what we see here, among a lot of other things, Kennedy was not the greatest friend of Israel. He was a critic of their nuclear program, wanted to end it. He was a huge opponent of the banks, the central banks, the biggest one since Andrew Jackson. He had a plan to destroy them. And he was anti-war and wanted to get us out of the war in Vietnam. He and those were all great things to do, and I wish they'd happened, but boy, you sure can't paint a bigger bullseye on the back of your head, can you?
No, he had it painted for a number of reasons. I know he wasn't there when it happened, but they were out to get him anyway. It was the mafia from the Batista family that moved to Florida. Now they practically control Florida like they did Havana. The same families.
Yeah, and it had something to do with the gambling down in...
Oh, yeah.
Cuba or something like that, right?
Yeah, and that mafia that ran it moved to Florida.
Right.
Under the umbrella of the CIA.
Right. And anybody who's interested in that, I'm sure 99% of the people listening to the show have seen the original The Godfather. No, it's Godfather 2. Watch Godfather 2, and you'll see, right, they have a depiction of that entire event. Michael Corleone goes down. He makes a deal with the Jewish mafia that's down there running the casinos, headed by this character named Roth. And funny that they would choose that particular name, huh?
Red, yeah.
Well, Rothschild.
Red Shield.
Right. No, yeah, Red Shield. That's right. Anyway, he goes down there. He makes the deal. They invest. They pay off in millions of dollars, which the money back then that would equate to billions of dollars now in bribes to the pre-Castro government. And then within a few days before Corleone can even go back, the revolution happens and it's all over for the mobsters down there. And,
we know the highlights of his history as president. Basically, we don't know a whole lot of else about Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because the amount of information you get is also controlled.
Yeah.
But you have to go back and read his speeches and see what he's saying to ever understand him.
Yeah. Well, before we go to the break, when we come back from the break, we're going to start getting into the assassination itself, and we're going to talk about various theories and inconsistencies about the assassination. But I want to make sure that we are not derelict when we're describing the things he did and miss what I consider one of the greatest accomplishments of mankind in all of its history. John Kennedy said in 1963, or was it 64, whatever, that before 1970, the way he said it was before the close of the decade, that we would be on the moon. And by God, we were. And that, in my opinion, is, at least as a symbol, is the pinnacle of what is great about Western civilization. The fact that we can say we're going to do these things, and we do them.
I've always wanted to ask NASA why they didn't put a photo of him on the moon.
Of Kennedy?
Yeah.
They should have.
Yes, they should have.
We should have named it Moon Kennedy or something.
You know, I thought it would have been great if Obama, whether it was fake or not, when he threw the body of
Osama bin Laden
out the airplane window. He should have put
off the ship, you mean.
If he had been really classy, he had to put his thumbs up for the camera and say, "Got him, George."
Right, right. Of course, we know that didn't happen.
No, I'm just thinking people don't have the class or the, well, not, I don't even call it class. They don't have the chutzpah. They don't have the intelligence to think like this man.
Okay, well, look, Ghost has talked himself hoarse. Let's let Ghost catch his breath, and we're going to take a commercial break. And before we do, I want to remind everybody that we have a fundraising appeal going on right now. We've got a PayPal at the top left of the page, just below the Hidden Mysteries banner, that we invite everybody, please, if you enjoy the show and you'd like to help support it, just click on that PayPal and shoot us a donation. Here in the next couple of days, we'll put up a page where if you prefer snail mail, you can send it to us via snail mail, you know, U.S. postage or whatever. And Ghost and I are also going to look into Bitcoin for people who prefer to donate absolutely 100% anonymously. We're going to figure out a way. We're going to look into the various services, and we're going to put some way for you to donate with cryptocurrency. And as always, I want to stress that, you know, if you're on a fixed income or you're having a problem paying your bills or something like that, please do not send us a penny. Just listen to the show and enjoy, and thank you for listening. But if you got a little bit of extra money you'd like to throw somebody's way, we could sure use it, and we guarantee that every penny will go to improving the show and seeing to it that the website stays up despite the attempts of the hackers. I think your microphone's off there, Ghost.
Oh, I'll go say, hey, grandma's out there. We're better than those TV preachers.
Well, we are better than those TV. Now, if you're on a fixed income, but you're going to send some money to John Hagee or somebody like that, don't do it. Just send it to us. As a matter of fact, don't send him anything, and just send us half what you were going to send him, and keep the other half, grandma, and buy your medicine and some food and stuff.
I'm going to talk about that. We're discussing this book called When They Kill a President.
Yes.
And we will link. And for $4.90, you get this 80-page book. And that includes postage to you in the United States.
So for less than $5,
they get it
total. They get this book. Well, and I want to say it is a nice book. And anybody who hasn't ordered a book from Hidden Mysteries.
Well, I put this on eBay so we can put it at the lowest price possible.
Right. But when I say from Hidden Mysteries, I don't mean necessarily from the website. I mean from the Hidden Mysteries bookstore, a book that's printed right here. Anybody who's never ordered one of these books, I've got to tell you, Ghost is an absolute artist. I was just looking in the book. Every time I look at a new book that Ghost has put out, I think to myself, what a great eye he's got for the covers. What beautiful fonts, high quality paper. And it's just everything Ghost does is with these books is done well and it's done classy. And he's trying to get them out to you as cheap as possible. We're not going to sit here and say we're doing this because we're the Peace Corps or something. You know, Ghost is, of course, a businessman trying to make a living, but he's trying to get them to you as cheap as possible because Ghost's chief motivation is to enlighten you.
And in this month, I always like to honor this man.
That's right. And I'm sure this will not be the only show we do on Kennedy. But anyway, let's go and take our break, Ghost. And it sounds like you and I both need to get a cough drop or something. And we'll be right back after this.
Are you an unpublished author? You can get your manuscript published at incredibly low prices. TGS Publishing is the largest print-on-demand publisher in Texas. Visit tgspublishing.com for more details. Order as few as 50 copies of your book and keep your capital for marketing. TGS Publishers can get your literary work into print and published. tgspublishing.com.
The liberty of Texas is under assault. The American Constitution has been shredded. The 10th Amendment has been forgotten. The meaning of freedom has been perverted. Washington's values and the values of Texans are opposites. Texans are victims of tyranny not seen since Santa Anna. Obamacare, oppressive taxation, porous borders, more socialism, and firearm restrictions. Sam Houston said, Texas will again lift his head and stand among the nations. It's time for Texas to be free. Texas independence now. The Texas Nationalist Movement.
Truth seekers and freedom-loving Texans, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
Welcome back to Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com. All right, we're back. we're going to get into the assassination itself and the resulting cover-up in this segment. Before we do, Ghost, during the break, we were talking about some quotes you had brought up. Were there any of them that you wanted to talk about before we get into the assassination? A little bit more about Kennedy's personality, that kind of thing?
I think we can go through that through several shows during the month, just touch a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, we will be doing more than one show on Kennedy, and we'll be talking about different aspects. We'll do political aspects, biographical, that kind of thing, throughout the month of November, this being the anniversary of his assassination. I guess goes this year, 2015, so this would be the 52nd anniversary, is that right?
53rd, maybe?
Yeah. 1963 to 2015, yeah. 52nd, yeah.
You're right.
It's amazing how events that happened over half a century ago still affect not only the consciousness of the people, even the consciousness of people like myself who weren't even born at the time, but also the politics of the world. Where there are still lots of things that we can point to that, boy, would it have likely been different had Kennedy lived and finished out his first term, and obviously he would have been elected to a second term. He was a very popular president.
Well, as an aside, since you asked, he did say one curious thing.
Okay.
That you really have to chuckle a little bit over it, but it's true. Mothers may still want their sons to grow up to be president, but according to a famous Gallup poll, 73% of those mothers do not want them to become politicians during the process.
Well, you know, I'm not a mother, but and I certainly wouldn't want any child of mine to enter politics, considering what he'd be putting up with and what he would have to do. But I agree. I wish our representatives and senators and presidents and all of them would do their jobs as public officials and representatives of the people and not enter politics per se.
That's a good one.
Well, anyway, okay. Well, let's start off with this. If the assassination was planned and it was planned for the place and time that it was, let's go over some of the reasons why it possibly might have been. One of the first being, goes to the press had for some time been falsely playing up the idea that Texas hated Kennedy, right?
Well, yeah, the press put the hatred motif on it just because Texas didn't vote for him.
Right. Texas was, they voted for Nixon, right?
Right.
That Texas had been, Texas became this fully red state. It was finally finished with Reagan, but I guess you could say it really started moving that direction in the early 60s, right?
Well, at that time, they were still electing nothing but Democrats to the governor's chair.
At home, right. But, you know, we had a different sort of Democrat in the South. The Democrats in the South were a lot more conservative than, say, the average Northeastern Democrat. Not talking about Kennedy.
I'm a Southern Democrat.
Yeah, those back then they called them Dixiecrats.
And, I'm not fond of Dixie, but I do like Southern Democrats.
You don't like Dixie?
As a name.
Oh.
My name.
I'm
not all that fond of Confederate Nation.
Well, that's because you're into the whole Texas thing.
Yeah. Why do we need anybody else?
Well, we need allies. And we kind of fought in that war.
That's fine to want allies, but Texas can do it.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing Texas can't do.
You do know that. The reason they were here in Texas was a visit with the Hunt brothers.
Oh, you talking about Kennedy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were going to meet and discuss and put into action a plan to start bringing the gold home.
Well, Ghost, have you ever seen the video that Hunt's son took on his deathbed minutes before he died?
Years ago I saw it, but I probably wasn't paying enough attention at the time.
A lot of the things that you have said he says are what happened. He claims that he planned and was in on the assassination, and I know he says that Johnson was deep in it, and I believe he says something about Bush Senior also, and he goes into lots of details. I'll grab that video off YouTube so we can put it in the post with this. But yeah, Hunt was, the thing he was most famous for before that was going to prison over the Watergate mess, right? Was that Hunt?
I'm not talking about that Hunt in Dallas, no.
Oh, okay.
Which Hunt? The Rich Brothers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking
about. They were making a plan to Texas to leave the Union.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about
bring the gold back on shore in the Americas, and once it's all back over here, to reinstitute a monetary system with the gold backing that we're supposed to have had all along. And when that happens, Texas rejoins the Union. That was the whole plan.
Well, I guess we're one step closer to that plan now that Texas has established its own gold reserves.
And that is kind of unusual that the Republicans actually give us what Kennedy wanted.
Well, they kind of had a little pressure from a certain nationalist group didn't they?
Texas National Party were in on all the committee hearings and testified before them.
Yeah. Now, Ghost is the vice president of that Texas Nationalist Movement. I've had a lot of people over the last few weeks, every once in a while when it come up and we'd be discussing the Federal Reserve, when they'd realize I was from Texas, they'd say, well, hey, congratulations on setting up your own gold reserve. That's a step towards independence. And I'd say, well, I appreciate that, but I know somebody you could thank personally.
They're going to advance the gold reserve into a full-blown Texas central bank.
That'll be good. That'll be a people's bank, right? It's not going to be run by international elements who
as long as we can keep the Republicans from thinking corporates are can run on everything better than government, we will succeed that way.
Yeah, it'll be hard to convince them of that because Texas... Texas.
Look at BP Oil. Is that what you call good corporate?
No. And the Queen owns that. And that's the perfect example of what I was going to say. It'll be hard to convince the Republicans, especially the ones in Texas, of that because they see the government and the multinational corporate entities as basically one organism.
Well, they're all sold out is basically what's happened. They're sold out or brainwashed.
Sold out, brainwashed, and compromised.
And incompetent.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, now that Ron Paul's not in office, I think you could basically say that just about every one of our government officials, elected government officials from the state rep level on up to the president.
When this Republican Party assassinated JFK Jr., they knew he would make president instantly if he ran.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't think I would have voted for him. He didn't seem anything like his father. And he didn't seem very,
he didn't have a chance to make a lot of public speeches at the, yeah.
Well, I know, but I saw him make some, and I read his silly magazine a few times that George, and read his editorials and stuff. And he just didn't seem like the,
why would he name his publication George?
After George Washington was what it was, what they said.
George Bush?
No.
Letting him know he knew.
No, it was George Washington. Well, maybe, I guess, but I don't really attribute that kind of thinking to him. It was named after George Washington. If I remember correctly, most every cover, whatever the topic of the, you know, the hot topic of the week was, they would have a photograph that had George Washington incorporated into it. Like if it was something about robotics, you'd have a robot with George Washington's head on it, that kind of thing.
Since you brought up George Washington, you know who Kennedy's favorite American history buff was? His favorite person?
Historian, you're saying, or American in history?
American in history.
Well, I want to say Thomas Jefferson, but...
Well, he was just at a Nobel Prize award where he's was one of the guest of honor speakers at the prize, when the prize was given away. And he was talking about all these scientists are in the room, and, you know, high IQs everywhere. He said, this is probably the greatest concentration of talent and genius in this house, except for the times when Thomas Jefferson ate alone.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I agree. And now the Republicans are taking him out of the Texas history books.
Well, no, they're not taking him out. They took him out.
Yes, they took Thomas Jefferson completely out.
They did it in 2010. I'll try to find the video of the debate over that in Texas House sometime and post it to the mysteries.
How stupid do these Republicans get?
Well, how stupid do they think we are?
Well, you don't think we know who Thomas Jefferson was.
Well, the thing is, the Republicans have Dunning-Kruger syndrome. Have you ever heard of that, Ghost?
No, I would call it dumb.
Well, it is. Dunning-Kruger syndrome is when you're just dumb enough not to know how dumb you are, and it makes you think you're actually smarter than everyone else.
Oh, I know what that means. I mean, I didn't know. I've never heard it that way. We just always call them fence turtles.
Right. but you're sitting there, you're thinking you're really owning everybody, and everybody's laughing at you because they can all see how stupid you are, but you're just dumb enough that you can't see it. You know, there are people who are really dumb, but they're smart enough to know, hey, there's a lot of people out there smarter than me. I should listen and learn. And that's the type of person who's not going to stay dumb. But the person who's dumb as hell and thinks he knows everything, which seems to be the common Homo Americanus running around nowadays, they're never going to learn anything. But anyway, back to the assassination. We were saying that the press had created this false perception that Texas just hated Kennedy. And there were even people saying, oh, JFK, don't go down there to Texas. You'll get killed and all that. And, but that wasn't the fact, was it? I mean, we didn't elect him, but we didn't hate him.
In fact, he landed in the most Republican part of Texas there is.
Oh, Dallas, yeah.
You know, Dallas probably went Republican all the way.
Right. But the streets were just lined with,
Republicans and Democrats.
Just adoring fans and patriotic Americans.
Send off in the, he got it from the, when he landed in Fort Worth and when he left.
Yeah.
Thousands of people off the fences to wave at him.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened when he landed in Love Field in Dallas.
Yeah. And when, just after he was killed, you can watch hours and hours and hours of footage of just all the people of Dallas coming out in tears to honor the president. And, I remember my great grandmother, she had, when she died, when I was a little kid, we went through her stuff, you know, like you do when somebody dies, to see what needed to be thrown out, what needed to be saved, and who got what. She had saved Fort Worth Star telegrams, I believe. She had saved three of them out of her whole life. One of them was Pearl Harbor. One of them was the day we landed on the moon. And one of them was Kennedy's assassination. And that's one of the most common things. I know so many people whose grandparents or great-grandparents saved that, and they still have the cover of one of the Dallas or Fort Worth papers from the day Kennedy was assassinated. And that was back when the newspaper was really the cutting edge of where you were going to get your information as far as how fast you were going to get it. Even they were still pumping out, when something like that would happen, they would pump out special editions that day, sometimes get them out quicker than the 6 o'clock news or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there were huge headlines in every Texan paper. And I don't, except for just your average weirdo troll, I don't know of anyone who was saying, oh, thank God they killed that bastard. You know, and you weren't hearing that. The nation mourned, and especially Texas mourned. And we still kind of, in the eyes of the press and in the minds of a lot of Americans, Texas, for some reason, still bears the mark of Cain, because in a way, we are blamed for his assassination.
You know, they were going to tear down the school depository building. It was a bunch of Dallasites got together. They did not want it to be torn down.
No, and now it's called the Sixth Floor Museum.
Yes.
And I've been there. I went there in the early 90s. And it's a pretty good museum, except for one thing. It completely, everything in the museum reads off the script of the Warren Report.
Well, I'm sure it was a government thing that put it together.
I'm sure too. But here's an interesting thing about it. When you go up there, you know, of course, the museum is on the sixth floor, and I believe the rest of the building is dedicated to offices for the sixth floor museum, and there's some rental, you know. But you get up there on the sixth floor of the museum, and the last exhibit that you come to is the actual window where they claim that Oswald shot Kennedy from. And you get up to that window, and there's a sign that says, this is where he was. And it says, do not step past this line. Do not look out the window. And it's got a line on the floor about 2 yards back from the window to where you can't see out the window. Well, I was there. I didn't care what the sign said. I'd already done the whole tour. And this was the thing I'd mainly come for, was to look out that window. And I walked up to that window and looked out it. And it's not there anymore. And we'll talk about this a little later in the show. They used to have an X on, it was either Commerce or Main, whichever side of the road he was on when he was shot. I believe it was Commerce. They used to have an X down there on the road precisely where the limousine was, the Lincoln Continental, when they shot Kennedy. And I looked out that window, and I saw the shot, and I imagined a car driving up it, you know, 10, 15 miles an hour, and imagine all those people around it and everything. And I realized, no, this is impossible. I mean, you might could make one shot towards the thing, but what they're saying happened is impossible. And I said that out loud, and a couple of people said, no, it isn't. You don't know what you're talking about. And I said, look, I'm not a city slicker from Dallas. I'm from the woods out in East Texas. I've been hunting since I was 6 years old. And I'm telling you, you cannot do this with a crappy old Italian bolt-action rifle. And though I'm not the biggest Jesse Ventura fan anymore, since he went full cultural Marxist about a year ago or so, he's always been cool in some ways and moon-batty in other ways. But Jesse Ventura, when he was doing his conspiracy theory show, they set up a simulation of it. They went out, I guess it was a cow pasture or something they went to, and they set up a big stand, kind of like, you know, the big metal frame with stairs on it, like they filmed from, and they set it at the exact height of the sixth floor. They gave him that precise Italian rifle and the same type of ammunition that was used, alleged to have been used in it. And they had a target set up precisely the same distance and the same angle. And they timed him. And they said, go. And Jesse Ventura, a trained Navy SEAL, who, as he was firing, was obviously very skilled at this stuff. And it was really impressive, you know, how he handled that bolt action rifle. He couldn't get that amount of shots out. And he even admitted, he said, the last couple where I tried really hard. I wasn't even aiming, you know. And he couldn't do it as fast as what they were saying.
Never convinced me he wasn't shot from the front anyway, the way the head had reacted.
Absolutely. What was it that
had the three men on the bridge thing and
right.
the other man in the bullet bushes?
Yeah, and the well-dressed hobos.
Oh, yeah. But which was one of the hunt, which is what Gordon Liddy and the other hunt you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. What was his name? H.L. Hunt or something like that?
I've forgotten his name.
That's, E. Howard Hunt. E. Howard Hunt is his name.
I guess he might have been a cousin or the brothers of the other.
He was a big CIA guy. And he went to prison over the Watergate break-in. And he's the one who gave the deathbed confession. But anyway, back to the assassination. Tell us about what you know about the allegations of George Herbert Walker Bush being involved in that. He was CIA at the time, right?
Well, he's everybody on the planet that's of memory from that time knows exactly where they were and what they were doing. When they heard the news that he had been assassinated, it really was the shot heard around the world.
Yeah, for younger people to know how it feels, you know how you remember where you were when you first heard or saw that the World Trade Center had been attacked and had planes flown in. It was the same thing, if not worse.
See, that, I never even think about that. I've got two things I can recall from history that will always be with me. One was the assassination of JFK, and the other was John Lennon.
Right. Now, the John Lennon, I do remember that one. It happened right before my 2 days before my birthday, I believe. And I'll never forget that either. I was a huge Beatles fan when I was a kid, which wasn't really cool because the Beatles had been broken up for a few years, but they weren't old enough to be considered cool classic rock. But I loved them. And John Lennon had just come out with the Double Fantasy album, and I loved it, and I was looking forward to maybe getting to go to a John Lennon concert, and this weirdo killed him. But back to Kennedy, the John Lennon thing in my life, and for people my age or a little younger, maybe the John Lennon thing if they're old enough, but the other thing that is like a defining moment in their life that's the defining terrorist act, conspiracy thing, whatever you want to call it, is the 9/11 deal. I will never, ever forget the moment I heard it. I was listening to Howard Stern, and they broke in with it. And I was suspicious immediately because within 2 minutes, he was screaming that it has to be Arab terrorists. I thought, oh, they're already telling it. And I thought, well, no, maybe he just guessed. And then about 2 days later, I saw Willie Nelson say, and planes didn't do that. And they said, what? And he said, well, just watch it. I've watched 100 of these buildings get demolished purposely, and that's exactly what it looks like. And I thought, well, if Willie says so, you know.
Someone smarter than Willie.
That's right. But anyway, the Kennedy assassination, like you said, was a defining moment in your life. And go ahead, and Bush can't remember where he was.
And the Oliver Stone movie, to me, had pointed directly at Bush as being the man behind the scenes that orchestrated it all.
When they were talking about the CIA,
yes.
and
he was going to, because Kennedy was going to destroy the CIA and end it forever.
Right.
You know, its actual usefulness is long gone.
Yeah. I think the CIA is probably the largest part of what he was talking about in his secret society speech.
Yeah. Cause they were a secret society within a secret society.
Right. Sort of thing. And they had secret oaths. To themselves and the CIA that superseded their oaths to the Constitution and the United States.
Everybody jumped and thought he was talking about masonry.
Right.
But he was actually talking about mafia and the other things that we don't consider
secret society.
Yeah, secret society.
Well, the mafia is absolutely a secret society.
But everybody assumed he was talking about Freemasons, which he probably never was.
Right. Well, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? So he was going to destroy the CIA, and you got George Bush in there in the CIA. And as we know, I mean, what was it, 10, 11 years later, George Herbert Walker Bush became the director of the CIA.
Yeah.
You know?
That was his reward.
Yeah. That and becoming president, I guess.
Yeah.
Because who would have thought, even as Reagan's vice president, who would have thought that he was going to be president? And who would have thought that the Democrats wouldn't be able to muster anything better than that hook-nosed Greek dwarf, Michael Dukakis? You know?
Dukakis was a smart dude, but I'm like you. There's no way he was going to beat
Anybody. Anybody.
Gerald Ford should have been the one that ran and won, but he was one of those moderates.
Ford lost when he tried to run. You know, he was only president by appointment. The thing that really doomed Ford was the deal that was cut. Because the first act that Ford did as president was pardon Nixon before he was actually even charged with anything.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people didn't like it, but then, like most of us, we understood why.
Well, yeah, you don't want to drag the country through a constitutional crisis.
That's over and over and over, yeah.
Yeah, that's just been narrowly averted. But, and be honest with you, as bad as the things, the only thing that Nixon did that was worth, as far as the Watergate thing went, was he went along with a cover-up. Every president we've had since, I guess, maybe Carter, has done 100 things that are 10 times worse than that. But anyway, back to Kennedy. All right, you were instead of just asking, just tell us a little bit about the assassination and some of the things that bother you about the official story.
What bothers me is the, after, you know, you read books like we were offering here for When They Kill a President, is the title of it, the testimony that they ignored, the evidence they ignored, the evidence they concealed, even how they botched up or intentionally botched up the autopsies, how they moved the body from Dallas illegally. It just piles on and piles on.
Yeah, and when they had the when the surgeons in Dallas declared him dead and they had their best forensics doctors come in there, CIA. They already had CIA there who told them, get away, we're taking over, don't look at it, don't touch it. And there were a lot of weird things. I own a copy, an original copy of when they first printed the Warren Report. I own a copy of an old worn out, looks like an old 1970s library book, you know, with the denim feeling cover and all that. And I've read it. It is the most, oh God, awful, boring thing. But because I was so fascinated, because, you know, in my opinion, and maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't, the Kennedy assassination is the holy grail of every New World Order conspiracy theory that's out there. It's the thing that ties them all together. And
you can mark that very time as the beginning of the demise of the free America.
Right, right.
I mean, that was the point in time that they dumped us into a war big time, because when Johnson got in there, I don't think he was behind that assassination like a lot of people, but I think he was so afraid of it happening to him, he just cowed down and took orders from the bosses that were controlling the job.
E. Howard Hunt, on his deathbed, said that Johnson was one of the main prime movers behind the thing.
He may have been, but I know that he was actually in the middle of this particular orchestration of it.
Yeah, I know that he hated Kennedy.
Yes, he did.
And I know that he was...
hated him politically in that since Banger's Bill with it.
Well, he also,
LBJ.
He also hated him personally because Kennedy treated him like the country bumpkin cousin or something. He was vice president and he wasn't allowed in cabinet meetings. And
well, there was a governor of Texas, probably the most popular governor we ever had. And LBJ destroyed his political career because he beat LBJ something.
Well,
one time.
Tell the folks who you're talking about. Hey, wasn't he in the car with Kennedy?
No.
Oh, no?
No, it's a different. This is back in the 40s.
Oh, okay.
But that governor was wanting the Republic of Texas reinstated.
Well, that sounds like a good man.
He was a good man. This was during World War II. He would put up signs.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Put up signs at the northern border telling the Yankees to keep out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's always a good idea to put a
he
sign.
He had won every office he ever ran for. I mean, he was a senator. He was U.S. representative. He was state house lawyers. I mean, state house reps. And he was a governor.
Right. Yeah, I always have felt that we absolutely should secure the border, but we should secure the northern border of Texas equally as well and keep those Yankees out.
And have them Canadians running down here.
Damn Oklahoma Yankees, that's bad enough.
I don't know too many of you Oklahoma Yankees.
I'm just joking. I always used to gig my
friends. Forgive him, Merle. He's an idiot.
I used to gig my friends that Oklahomans were Yankees
is in Oklahoma?
Who?
Merle.
No, he really didn't. He's from Bakersfield, California, but he wrote that song, Okie from Muskogee. you know, because his family were Okies. You know, that's why, that's back in the day. Now, Bakersfield nowadays is a...
Was it Waylon Jennings lives in Oklahoma?
No, Waylon Jennings from same town as Buddy Holly.
Oh, really? Texas?
Yeah. Lubbock. Yeah, Waylon Jennings, Texan. He was in, and he was Buddy Holly's bass player.
And he was a cricket. One of the greats lives in, or has a house there. I don't know whether he lives there or not. It may just be a house he owned there.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of this town. I went by it one time.
Yeah. Well, despite all the denigrating that I do about Oklahoma, a very tiny percentage of it is beautiful land.
But, I love that red clay deserty look they've got.
Well,
it's beautiful.
I like to see it for about 2 minutes because it's different, but I wouldn't want to be stuck in it.
No, Dust Bowl hit hard.
The part that I really like is the stuff in southeastern Oklahoma around Broken Bow where they have all the steep hills, wooded hills. It's just kind of like East Texas.
This is off our topic, but there was a conservationist, and he worked for the government, U.S. government, that was pleading for the government to put money into teaching farmers and give them the means and the seeds and stuff to start building traps to keep the dirt, you know, on the farm, or then it blow out into the ocean. And by terracing and by tree lines and all the stuff that they weren't doing, it's just totally flat and bare then. And he waited, and they wouldn't ever do anything. He knew, and he'd already gotten word that there was one of these windstorms that's coming up, and you know how those windstorms were back in the Dust Bowl days. If you ever seen pictures, it's unbelievable. And all of a sudden, this big pile of dirt starts blowing across the Capitol there. And he says, "Gentlemen, if you've never been to Oklahoma, Oklahoma has arrived."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but anyway, but yeah, back on the let me make a couple of points about the assassination that always bothered me. For one thing, all the missing stuff. Okay, the brain is missing, and we know that it wasn't completely destroyed or hit the ground, because in the Zapruder film, Jackie, in her panic, hoping to try to save him, climbs on the back of the Lincoln and scoops up the brain, and they brought the brain with them to the hospital. Now, of course, there was no saving him once his brain was outside his head, but you know, when you love somebody and you panic, you're hoping, I suppose.
I thought she just got the skull.
No, you can see it pretty clearly in the blown up stuff he played over and over. She's grabbing everything that flew out of his head. His whole brain flopped out of his head.
That's why I think he was shot from the front.
Right. Oh, absolutely, he was shot from the front. To the left and back. To the left and back.
If Oswald was shooting, he might have got the one in the neck, because it was coming from the back to the front. That headshot was what got him, and it's impossible for me to think of a recoil like that being from being shot behind.
Now, if you were shot from behind, the first thing your head would do, it would eventually pop back, but the first thing it would do would be to fly forward violently, and the brain would fly out the front.
Yes.
And also, when they got him into the hospital, when they had him in the gurney moving around, the doctors and everybody reported there was a shell casing that must have been in his clothing or something, because it was right there on the gurney, and it disappeared. An empty shell casing, rifle shell casing. Is that not weird? And then, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that if this happened in a local murder,
it was bullet. I never heard casing.
Oh, bullet, maybe. Bullet, maybe. Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but there's a bullet, and it was right there, and it just turned up missing. The Warren report never mentioned it. And then you've got, just like during 9/11 and several other of these events, just before it happened, NORAD is told to stand down for no reason at all. All our air defenses told to stand down. Why would that happen? And what a weird coincidence. You know, that's one of the things that Donald Sutherland's character talked about in the movie. And a lot of people say that Donald Sutherland's character is E. Howard Hunt. And
his boss was George W. Bush.
Exactly. And the Sutherland character alleges that the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all of it were deep into the whole thing. And it makes sense, because he wanted to stop the war. But, I mean, look at all the actors involved who are constantly snuffing people all over the world. You got the CIA, you got the NSA, you got the Joint Chiefs, you've got FBI, military intelligence, Israel. He was wanting to stop Israel's nuclear program. And of course, he was also, you've got the international bankers who are tied in tighter than you can imagine with
Kennedy's
Israel.
That's one of Kennedy's enemies and targets, was the banking.
Absolutely. Anybody who cares about their people, that's their number one target, is the international bankers.
Yes.
And Kennedy, whether you agreed with his policies or not, and I disagree with a lot of them, but Kennedy cared about the American people. And during the break, and he was so inspirational, and his core values, at least as he expressed them, you know, you can never read a person's heart, but his core values as he expressed them were, I mean, I can't think of anything more American, more Western. When he was talking about going to the moon, he said, we're going to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard.
Yep.
You know, and because, and I don't remember the exact quote, but because it will mobilize us to reach in and bring out the best in what we are. And look what's happened to the space program since Kennedy.
We're putting robots on the moon. I mean, on Mars.
Well, I mean, yeah, but we've basically ended real space exploration.
As far as man flight, yes.
Yeah, 99% of what we do now as far as anything going on with space is we do stuff for the corporations. We put satellites up there for them. That's basically it, you know. And we don't even have a space shuttle or anything to get us up there anymore. We have to pay the Russians.
Russians quit doing it for us.
Well, how do we do it now?
I don't know.
Well, we have so many screwed up priorities now. We have this massive war on drugs. We have this massive surveillance state. We have international wars going on. Who knows how many dozens of them that aren't even declared wars. We have... We are running around the world destroying nation states. This is costing us trillions and trillions of dollars, but we can't afford a few hundred billion for a space program. We can't afford a decent amount of money for real medical research. We can't afford to come up with solutions to house our homeless. We can't take care of our veterans.
I don't think take care of Israel.
Yeah. I don't think Kennedy would have tolerated any of this.
No. In fact, he was probably much against, the way you read, he was against the welfare state. But he understood it was there because all these people were out of work and stuff.
Yeah.
His goal was to put everybody back to work.
Well, you know,
that was the answer, the right, reasonable answer.
Right. Well, you know, Kennedy, I said earlier he was the last real American president. He was also the last American president who really exemplified the best of the good part of American nationalism. He was about America. He wasn't worried about Israel. He wasn't worried about the multinational corporations, about pleasing them. Kennedy was looking out for the American people, for American sovereignty, and, as you said earlier, for the freedom of the peoples of the world, because it would achieve freedom at home. It would preserve freedom at home. And when Kennedy talked about freedom abroad, he wasn't using Orwellian doublespeak the way that presidents do now when they say we've got to bring democracy to the Middle East. You know, like we were joking about on the show last night, we're going to free the shit out of you and the bombs start falling. Kennedy was talking about doing it through strategic diplomacy and through being an example to the world.
Well, his idea of what do you call it, detente or between nations, was to at least make treaties for what you agree on and leave what you disagree off the side until you can start living together on what you do agree on.
Yeah.
So I thought he's a pretty wise man.
If these moronic neocons and neolibs that we have running the government now and for the last 20 years or so, if those people had been in charge when John F. Kennedy was president, I truly believe we'd have probably had a nuclear war.
Well, actual comparison, you could, everybody's in Congress. They ought to be shave their heads and just show that they're neo-Nazis. That's all they are to us. They're not doing anything for us. They're doing everything for themselves.
You mean the fake kind?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the branch of the skinheads.
Right, right.
Because that's all they are.
Well, I think that maybe they should. Well, no, they shouldn't. They all do it. I was going to say, I think maybe they should just go have their picture taken kneeling at the Wailing Wall or something. But they all do.
Never underestimate McCain to get his picture taken somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
McCain. Why did anybody want to photograph that fat idiot?
I don't know. But anytime there's some type of Cucks for Israel conference, McCain is the keynote speaker.
Yes.
Him and Cornyn and Cruz. And isn't it shameful that we have to say that our two senators are a couple of the leading Zionists on earth? But anyway, so you've got these actors like Bush and all, and we're certainly not going to solve the problem of this. But Ghost, how long is it that all the stuff that we're not allowed to know, that's sealed and confidential, is sealed for? Isn't it something like, don't we have to wait another 60 years or something to find out?
I think they put a 100-year freeze on it.
Okay, so another 48 years we have to
They did the same thing with all the records of the Civil War.
Right.
So they had 100 years to destroy what they didn't want the public to know that they had
done.
Right,
I was going to say, a lot of the stuff was destroyed.
There is a government repository somewhere in Michigan, I think it is, where a lot of the records are supposedly lost have been kept and hidden.
Yeah.
Sounds like an X-Files show.
Well, yeah, you know, there's anything that and it's weird. This is supposed to be a constitutional republic where the people run things and the people are supposed to be trusted with information to make decisions for the country and stuff. But anytime something happens that might look bad for the way that the masters of the universe want the country to go, they just seal the stuff forever. You've got the Kennedy thing and what you were just talking about, and like all the stuff where the FBI was wiretapping and following around Martin Luther King before the assassination, that stuff's been sealed for 100 years. And, because I think the reason is they're afraid it'll stain his reputation, and they've developed him into some kind of a deity and the foremost American hero and all that.
I think it's more to cover up what J. Edgar Hoover was and what he had done.
Well, maybe so, but, you know,
He set that in action. Everybody knows that.
Reverend Abernathy, who was MLK's closest confidant, has told some of the stuff that you'll hear about on those tapes, and it ain't good for King. But anyway, this isn't about him.
We've been discussing this book and about the assassination. Let me read one little sentence.
Okay.
I guess it was a foreword in the book or something that wrote this. He's talking about the investigation itself and the Warren Report, whoever's mentioning this. And he's talking about this author, whose name is Roger Craig. Says his participation in the formative hours of the investigation during the rest of that day and into the evening included observations and experiences that would have single-handedly destroyed the Warren Commission fairy tale before a grand jury or a congressional investigation.
Read that again so listeners can hear it one more time.
He, Roger Craig, his participation in the formative hours of the investigation during the rest of that day and into the evening, including observations and experiences that would have single-handedly destroyed the Warren Commission fairy tale before a grand jury or a congressional investigation. So what this officer knew and what this officer had witnessed and what this officer had experienced didn't fit the CIA paradigm and of lies he wanted to spill forth.
Right. It would bust the narrative.
That's why they grabbed that Zagruder film and hid it from the world for 2 decades. When finally a copy got leaked out, to that thing. Bill, something that wrote the White Horse book.
Oh, you talking about on a pale horse?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't think of the guy's last name, but I remember the book.
The whole pale horse. He wrote that book, and he was one that brought that to that Zapruder film to the public. And that Zapruder film convinces me it had to be a front shot. Period. I don't care what else.
Absolutely. That the Zapruder film is the key to the whole thing that ruins it all. There's lots of other stuff like that, but you just show somebody the Zapruder film and you just play it three or four times. And just like the Kevin Costner portraying Jim Garrison in Oliver Stone movie, you just play it over and over. And every time the bullet strikes, you say to the left and back.
You know, a lot of conspiracy group think the Freemasons might have been involved because where he was assassinated was property owned by the Masonic Lodge.
Right.
That's where that eternal flame has been lit for it, for the memory of Kennedy.
Yeah.
And it used to be the location of an old Masonic temple, way I understood it, before they brought Commerce Street in and widened it out.
Well, and
I don't believe it. A lot of people use that as symbology and connections that I think it just happened. Some things are just coincidences because they're coincidences.
Well, yeah, you and I disagree somewhat about the Masons. I think they're up to a little more dirty stuff than you do, but let's don't get into that. Anyway, but back to Commerce Street there. That's good. I'm glad you brought that up because I would have forgotten to bring up what I promised I would bring up later. One big part of the cover-up that happened precisely 50 years later, I mean 50 years just about to the day, because remember, a year before last was the 50th anniversary, and they had all the big, they had protests from conspiracy theory people, like Alex Jones is out there making a jackass of himself on his bullhorn, and yeah, and they had lots of really legitimate people. They had old Jim Mars. Remember old man Jim Mars used to be a reporter for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, who was the guy.
I met with him, dined with him.
Huh?
I've met with him and dined with him. Yeah, I know him.
Okay, and
Oliver Stone movies written after his book, Crossfire.
Yes, and he's also the guy who made Bilderberg a household name.
Yes. Yes,
and old Jim died a couple of years ago. Yeah. But anyway, he died of lung cancer. I think he was in his 80s, and he had been smoking filterless cigarettes, like four packs a day his whole life, but he made it to his 70s. Anyway, now I forgot what I was going to say about old. Oh, yeah, they were all out there protesting stuff. And while this was all going on, they had a road crew come along, and where that, and out there by the Kennedy Monument, which is one of the weirdest and most, in my opinion, most inappropriate monuments. Have you ever been to that? Where? It's just a big, it looks like the right there on Commerce. It looks like you've probably seen it 100 times and didn't even know that's what it was. It looks like a concrete parking garage without walls. I mean, there's nothing there except there's the Kennedy assassination monument. But anyway.
Well, it looks like brass or whatever sculpted flames with the.
Yeah, they've got that. They've got that too. Yeah, but it's that weird, just concrete parking garage looking thing around.
That little cul-de-sac looking thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that was so people could have a place to sit and eat lunch and stuff, in honor, you know. And
well, yeah, but they could have honored him with a little better, with something a little more attractive than that, surely.
I don't know. I always thought it was attractive myself.
Yeah. Well, I guess sometimes different strokes for different folks, I suppose. Kennedy should have something. Kennedy should have a way better monument than that asshole Abraham Lincoln.
Well, Lincoln needs to be destroyed for the mythology they've raised around him. They tried to turn him into a god of America.
Right. Well, yeah. You know how recently when the Confederate flag thing was such a big deal, and they've gone around defacing our honorable Confederate ancestors' monuments, like the Texas Confederate ancestor, a Confederate dead monument at University of North Texas and stuff. I thought to myself, well, if you want to deface something, if you want to deface an evil man, go to Washington and deface that damn Lincoln monument.
Yes.
But anyway, if I were president, I would write an executive order that it be bulldozed. But, I would probably have somebody hang a noose around the head of the statue for about a month.
Lincoln
first.
Did what he did. And he was president of the United States, but they turned him into a damn god.
Yeah.
Crediting him with all this stuff that he probably never dreamed of doing.
Right.
Much less actually doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, they credited him with being this great emancipator. He never freed a single slave.
One thing he did do that had never been done before him, put the United States government in debt.
Yep.
Up until then, they were pay as you go.
Yep. And he was the first one to just completely suspend the Constitution too. You know, I mean, just by executive fiat, he was throwing Yankee reporters who didn't agree with the
kind of like signing statements we recently heard about, huh?
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
But, screw that Constitution. This is my way now. I'm president.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyhow, the X on the street that marked the one that I referred to earlier that you could look at from the sixth floor if you. Museum, if you were willing to break their rule and cross that line and
you
look
heard
down.
They were going to cover up the manhole so you couldn't find it again.
Right. Well, it's gone. But
that's because people kept stealing the manhole covers for souvenirs.
I wish I'd have thought to do that. But anyway.
Dangerous spot to jump out of the middle of that road.
Well, you do it at about 3 a.m. Downtown there's no traffic. And no cops either. They're all at the donut shop over at the bus station.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway. We're talking about Dallas cops. Half of them are in their squad car, hidden somewhere asleep.
But, looking at porn books.
Right, right. Yeah, watching porn on their laptop at the city expense like our illustrious police here did before we got them fired. But anyway, they had an X on the side of the road there that marked right where the limousine was when Kennedy was shot. On the 50th anniversary, I mean, it's like they're pushing it in your face. On the 50th anniversary of his assassination, and there's video of this on YouTube, the street crews came along, and it's not like they just scrubbed the X up. They brought concrete cutters and cut all the original concrete up, even the sidewalk, and repaved it, and did not put an X there. Now, there may have been an X put there since, but they didn't put one then. And a couple of months later, people were still reporting no X. It hasn't been, you know, it's like they're erasing the history of it. And in a way, you can almost kind of understand it because if there's one thing, of course, nobody really feels it so much anymore because, you know, most of the people who are grown up and everything back then when it happened are gone. You know, they've passed on to their eternal reward, so to speak. But if there's one thing the city of Dallas really, really, really wanted to do in the years following the Kennedy assassination was to somehow put that thing behind them,
yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of understandable that way. Yeah. But this is real 1984 memory hole stuff. I mean, they killed our president right there. And we're not entitled to have something marking the spot.
Well, they might have put in like one of those geological pieces of metal they stick somewhere that they'll always find it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, you can't walk out there and see it. You can't look out that window and see it.
That's probably what they didn't want people walking out in the street to see it.
Well, no, it wasn't out on the street. It was on right up against the curb, and it says, this is where the limousine, the limousine got this far, and boom, you know. But the thing is, without that X there, nobody can do what I did. Nobody can walk up to that window that Oswald was alleged to have fired on Kennedy from and look down at that X and decide for themselves what they think of it.
True.
Well, Ghost, we've got about nearly 2 hours of show here now. About an hour and 20 minutes, really. And like we said, we're going to do a lot more shows on this. And it occurs to me now, since we didn't even get to talk about him tonight, we should do a show. It doesn't have to be the next Wednesday show, because that's your thing, absolutely. But maybe we'll just do a special edition show on a day we don't normally do a show, just about Oswald. Because I know all about Oswald. I'm sure you do, too.
I know a little bit about him. I know the day when they pulled him out of Rosedale Cemetery and replanted him somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, here's a little something to tease the listeners. I'm one of four people who saw David Koresh buried. Maybe we'll do a show about that sometime.
Yeah, that's another one of those U.S. Reichstag movements.
Yep, watched it happen live in person with my own eyes. But anyway, maybe we should do what do you think, maybe Saturday or Sunday do a show about Oswald?
Maybe Friday night?
Well, no, Friday night's a regular show. But if you want to do two shows Friday night, I'm up for it.
No, I'm just They reminded you we had a Friday night show to go.
Well, I know, but the show on Oswald will take at least an hour, and we won't even be all that deep into it.
Whatever you say, Till. I said whatever you promise the audience.
Well, I'm not promising a particular day. I'm just saying you want to maybe do it this weekend or early next week?
Well, we can discuss that off air.
Okay, okay.
Well, we're going to hear us just talk about our schedules.
Okay, well, I'm trying to let people know that one will be coming.
Well, that's all you had to say.
Okay, well, okay, we'll do a show this month on Oswald, and we'll get deeper into the assassination. This is, you know, that's one of the problems talking about the Kennedy assassination is like, how long was that Oliver Stone movie? Wasn't it a little over 3 hours, something like that?
It was a long one.
And even with it being in the format of a movie where you can portray all the people interacting with one another, you know, it's pretty much the most rapid way to display information. Stone wasn't able to get 1/10 of the information into the movie that you'd want in it because it's just impossible. There's so much to it. But I want to ask you one more thing before we go. You know, we're talking about Roger Craig, the cop. Was he ever, like when Jim Garrison had the famous grand jury trial over the Kennedy assassination Baton Rouge?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay, in New Orleans. Was Craig one of the witnesses or anything?
I don't know.
Okay, well, that'd be an interesting thing for us to find out. But anyhow, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about, on an upcoming show about the Garrison trial. But anyway, I want to remind everybody that Hidden Mysteries Radio is powered by HiddenMysteries.com and TGS Publishing. And HiddenMysteries.com is the greatest alternative bookstore in the history of the universe. And TGS Publishing, if you have a book and you want to get your book published, TGS Publishing is the place to do it. Don't you think, Ghost?
I know it is.
All right. And you're not going to find a better guy to do it than Ghost, because if there's one thing I don't do, it's butter him up about what a great publisher he is, because you can't butter him up. Ghost is a great publisher. And so I guess we'll end the show and tell everybody, remember JFK. Remember that they killed your president. And if they can kill your president and you don't find out how they did it and who did it, and get together and figure out a way to stop them from doing it in the future, they can do anything to anybody. So I guess we'll end it there, Ghost.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.